Today will be our first official lecture on ASPECT. We've had some short lectures already, but we're going to try to put it all together today. I'll be describing briefly, but comprehensive terms, the ASPECT systems of Nuchanoth and Kwakwala, and then talking more specifically about what this means for how we use these languages and how we teach it. I will be relating ASPECT to some common teaching methods that we use, including TPR, or Total Physical Response, ASLA, or Accelerated Second Language Acquisition, and WAYK, or Where Are Your Keys? If you took Linguistics 181 with me, then you've seen this handout. This handout gives a very brief overview of ASPECT, tense, and mood in Nuchanoth. I'll use this as an introduction to the topic of ASPECT. Most of what we say about Nuchanoth here is also true for Kwakwala, but there are some small differences, which I will mention. Let's start our discussion of ASPECT with the examples in numbered example 2 on page 23. These illustrate the three English aspects, which we can call plain, progressive, and perfect. An example of the English plain aspect is we speak. It doesn't say anything about when, where, or how long. You could say that this sentence is tenseless and aspectless. This is the kind of language that we see in newspaper headlines. Newspaper headlines use this kind of language because they try to be very, very brief, so they omit certain details. An example of the English progressive aspect is we are speaking. This is a little more precise. It indicates that we started speaking before now, and we haven't finished yet. We're in the middle of it. We are speaking. The English perfect aspect can be exemplified by we have spoken. In this case, the speaking is finished. It happened in the past, but we imply that it didn't happen too long ago in the past, and somehow that continues to affect the present. The fact that we have spoken has something to do with whatever's happening now. These are the three English aspects: plain, we speak; progressive, we are speaking; and perfect, we have spoken. Now, people tend to confuse aspect with tense, but they are actually completely distinct concepts. And we can see this because all three of these English sentences can be put in the past tense, but their aspect remains unchanged. So, for example, we speak and we spoke have the same aspect, that is, plain aspect, but they differ in tense. We speak is present, we spoke is past. Similarly, we are speaking is present tense, we were speaking is past tense, but they're both progressive. We have spoken and we had spoken are both perfect, but one is present and one is past. This simple example shows that aspect and tense are not the same thing. Now, most people have a good idea of what tense is. Tense has to do with when something happens. Before now, now, or in the future. That's what tense is. Aspect is much harder to pin down. What is aspect? One way to explain aspect is that it is the shape of events in time. So does the event stretch out over time, or is it very punctual? Does it happen at a point in time? An example of a very punctual event might be Della sneezed. It happened and then it was over. That's a punctual event that we might think of as a point in time. Tom was working is an example of an event that stretches out a bit over time. And often we compare one event to another. So we might say, while Tom was working, Della sneezed. In this case, the one event is entirely contained inside the other, right? It started and finished. It started after the other event started and finished long before the other event ended. Aspect helps us clarify these things. The main distinction in aspect across human languages is between perfective and imperfective. Perfective events are complete. We see it as a complete event. Imperfective events are incomplete. That doesn't mean that the event didn't finish at some point. It just means that however we're talking about it, we're not concerned with when it ended. So Tom was working is an example of an imperfective event. We're not concerned with when it finished. Della sneezed is an example of a perfective event. It did finish. It's over. The English perfect aspect is a perfective kind of aspect. And the English progressive is an imperfective kind of aspect. But the reason why we need several sets of terminology, we have one set of terminology for the English aspects and another set of terminology for language aspects across languages, is because every language treats aspect a little bit differently from all the others. The concepts of perfective and imperfective will allow us to say some very general things about how human languages treat aspect. But for each language, we're going to need some specific names for the aspect categories used in that language. Let's take a look at the next diagram. This diagram tries to show the most important Nunchaknoth aspects. This shows the five most important, which are complete, ongoing, continuous, repetitive, and off and on. And we use the verbs take and rotate to demonstrate these. Now, most verbs in Nunchaknoth do not have forms in every single aspect. These are a few of the verbs that do have a form in every single aspect. Some of these will be much more common than others. You will be familiar with the words suquit and su. These are very common words. Suquit, to pick up, to take. Su, holding. But in addition, we also have suquit, long short, suquit, as opposed to suquit, which is short short. Sutsuya, and sutsuk. Let me go through what each of these means. The complete form, suquit, means to pick something up and be done. So it's a complete event, it's a perfective kind of aspect. Suquit means in the middle of doing that, in the middle of doing what suquit describes. So suquit means to pick it up and be done. Suquit means picking it up and we're still in the middle of it. Su means holding it. So probably the person picked it up at some point, but we're not concerned with when they picked it up or when they're letting it go. We just know that they're holding it now. Sutsuya means to do repetitively what suquit describes. So means picking things up over and over again. For example, candies off a conveyor belt. Sutsuya. Sutsuk also means doing it several times, but at irregular intervals. So whereas Sutsuya describes someone picking things up over and over again, and each act of picking up happens at about the same length of time from the previous one, Sutsuk could describe picking something up, not doing anything for a while, picking something up again, not doing anything, and so on. So we call these aspects complete, ongoing, continuous, repetitive, off and on. To see these in another verb, consider forms of mitikshit. Mitikshit means to rotate once and be done. So we might say this about a clock hand that started at noon, went all the way around, and it stopped again at noon. That's mitikshit. It turned and was done. Mitikshit means in the middle of that. Mitkwa means it's rotating and we can't really see any starting or stopping. So we might say this about a rotating wheel, where it's not clear when it started or how many times it's turned. Mitkwa implies that the each turn is meaningful in some way. So we might say this about a wheel that dings every time it reaches a certain point. If it goes sh ding, sh ding, sh ding, that's a repetitive kind of turning. The same thing is happening over and over again. And mitksh means doing that, but from time to time, at irregular intervals. In the story where Raven and Skate have a spearing contest and they throw from time to time, but it's not to a beat, right? They just throw whenever it's their turn. That's some and Skate dodges whenever Raven throws his spear. That's sometimes described as mitksh. He turned from time to time. We have a question about the word su sinhe, holding for the future. Usually the aspect of a word comes from its last suffix. So the aspect of su sinhe is going to be depend on whatever the aspect of sinhe is, and the aspect of sinhe is continuous. Now, in fact, continuous aspect can be divided into two further aspects that we call continuative and durative, but this happens with only a few verbs. couple of examples. One is flying. So flying continuously is usually mata, but an airplane is matuk. And we could describe both of these as continuous. They are both continuous verbs, but they're not quite identical. Mata is active flying. Matuk is more static. It's unchanging. So matuk describes an unchanging airplane, a physical object. Mata describes an action of flying. They're both continuous, but a little bit different. So our names for those are continuative. Mata is continuative. That's the more active type of continuous. Matuk is durative. That's the more static kind of continuous. And now we've listed every single aspect in Nuchanov. That's all of them. The difference between continuative and durative in Nuchanov is not very important. It's important for only a handful of verbs. It's much more important in Kwakwala, as we'll see. I don't have as nice a handout yet for Kwakwala as I do for Nuchanov, and I'm working on a diagram that will help clarify the structure of these aspect systems, which is quite complex. Most languages do not have such complex aspect systems. That is one of the special things about Wakashian languages, is their highly developed aspect systems. But the verb to see will help us illustrate the main aspect categories of Kwakwala. And the forms we're going to look at are Dukwa, Dukwala, I see I have a typo there, Dukwatha, Dukwa, and Dukwid. Those Kwakwala forms again are Dukwa, Dukwala, Dukwatha, Dukwa, Dukwid. Dukwid is the complete form, the complete aspect form. That means to see and be done, or to start seeing, or to look. Dukwa is a form we don't hear very often, and I had to find it by looking it up. But according to some sources, dukwa means looking from time to time, looking from time to time. So this would correspond to the Nuchanov off and on aspect, dukwa. Mayatnith, do you have anything to say about dukwa? Do you recognize it, or have you never heard it? What do you see in your head when you hear dukwa? They keep looking every now and then. Yeah. So, as far as I know, Kwakwala does not make the distinction between repetitive and off and on that Nuchanov does. Nuchanov has these two multiplex aspects, repetitive and off and on. By multiplex, we mean that they describe repeated action. And the difference in Nuchanov between repetitive and off and on is that the actions in the repetitive aspect are at regular intervals, like that rotating wheel we mentioned. But the actions in the off and on aspect are at irregular intervals. Another common case of the off and on aspect in Nuchanov is mitmitsch, raining off and on. So it rains, it stops, it rains again a little bit later, not at regular intervals. Kwakwala, as far as I know, does not make this distinction. It just has an off and on multiplex aspect, and that's illustrated by dukwa. So that's dukwa and dukwid. What about the other three? Dukwa, dukwala, dukwatha. Now, in my experience, we don't hear dukwa very much, but the forms we hear the most are dukwala, dukwatha, dukwid. And I don't know if I've ever heard dukwa before, but Boaz claims that it's attested. What do you think, Diana? Have you ever heard dukwa by itself? Lachten dukwach. I went to see him. So what we seem to have with the aspects illustrated by dukwa, dukwala, dukwatha is versions of the continuous. So we saw in Nuchanov that we usually talk about a continuous aspect, and we don't have to distinguish it any further than that. But with a few verbs, there's a finer distinction between the more continuative types of continuous versus the more durative types of continuous. In Kwakwala, this distinction is much stronger, and it's found in lots of verbs. So in Kwakwala, we have the fine distinction between dukwa, dukwala, dukwatha, where dukwala seems to be the continuative. It's the more active type of seeing. You're doing something. Dukwatha is the durative, the more static kind of continuous. So you're standing and watching but not moving. Duqua is neither. Duqua is just plain continuous and doesn't say whether it's continuative or durative. So in Kwakwala, with some verbs, including this one, we have all three aspects available, and which one we use depends on which shade of meaning we want to convey. In Nuchanolth, most verbs have just one continuous form. A few verbs have two, but in Kwakwala, quite a few have three different continuous forms. That is a brief overview of the aspect categories of the two languages we're working on, Kwakwala and Nuchanolth. I just described to you the six aspect categories of Nuchanolth and the five aspect categories of Kwakwala, according to my current understanding. This has come at you very fast, and it will take a long time to really master what these different aspects mean and when it is appropriate to use them. I'm going to proceed to give you some rules of thumb that you can rely on until you have developed your own better understanding of the aspect system. For now, are there any questions? The first rule of thumb is that even though Kwakwala has about five aspect categories and Nuchanolth has about six, the main distinction one needs to worry about is between perfective and imperfective. So beginners can pretend for a while that the only aspects there are complete and continuous. You can get quite a long way in both languages just worrying about continuous and complete. So let's use some example verbs for this. Let's use the verb walk. So in Kwakwala, the forms are going to be kasa, kasid, walking, walked, kasa, kasid. And in Chanoth, they'll be yatsuk, yatsit, walking, walk. The first form in each of these cases represents the continuous aspect, kasa or yatsuk. And the second one is the complete form, kasid, yatsit. So first rule of thumb. Second rule of thumb, when a verb is used without any explicit tense, so you don't use any past, present, or future marking in the sentence, and you also don't give a time word like now, yesterday, or tomorrow to show when it happened, it's just a verb in a very short sentence. So for example, kasuch in Kwakwala or yatsuk ish in Nuchanolth. If the verb is in the continuous aspect, it is by default understood as happening right now. So if I say kasuch in Kwakwala, I mean he's walking right now. In Nuchanolth, yatsuk ish or yatsuk ma, I mean he's walking right now. Continuous aspect by default is interpreted as present tense. Now compare that to the complete aspect. Kasiduch, he walked. Yatsitlish or yatsitma, he started walking. When I use a complete aspect form without any explicit tense marking, by default it is interpreted as recent past. If I say kasiduch out of the blue, one sees a man who walked quite recently, but it happened in the recent past. It's not happening now. In Nuchanolth, yatsitma, yatsitlish, he walked, he started walking, recent past. So that rule of thumb is, by default, continuous aspect is interpreted as present, complete aspect is interpreted as recent past. That is just a default now, but it is very important to understand because it is for this reason that people confuse the complete aspect with the past. A lot of people who don't yet have an understanding of aspect, but do have an understanding of tense, tend to think that complete aspect forms are past tense forms. And it is true that the complete aspect is used a lot to express past tense, but it is not only used to express past tense. The third rule of thumb has to do with commands, and this is what's going to be important to us for the next week or so. When you tell someone to do something, both languages can use either continuous or complete aspect, but by default, complete aspect is usually better in a command. So if you're telling someone to walk, we'd probably say something like kas ida gya or kas idas in Kwakwala and yats shi'i in Nuchanov. Start walking. Kas ida gya, kas idas, yats shi'i. The other aspect, the continuous, is possible in commands. So it is possible to say kasala, walk. Yatsukui, walk. But it would be unusual. It would probably require a special context. In fact, I would be very surprised to ever hear kasala or yatsukui. Let me give you an example of a verb where one does get both aspects and commands, and this will make it a little clearer, I think. And that verb is to sit. So our main forms for sit in Kwakwala are kwasa, kwahid, kwasa, sitting, kwahid, sit down. In Nuchanov, tikwas, sitting on a platform, tikwasit, sit down on a platform and be done. Now, if I use the complete form to tell someone to sit down, tikwasii, kwahidagya. I'm telling them to sit down now, but I'm not really telling them what they should do after they're done with that. I'm just telling them sit down and then I'm done with you. But if I want someone to be seated and stay there for a while, I'm more likely to use the continuous aspect. Tikwasi in Nuchanov. Tikwasi. Kwasala in Kwakwala. Kwasala. Be seated and remain seated. Remain seated. This is a case where we can use either aspect in a command and it makes a slight meaning difference. Now, I'll also point out that the difference in pronunciation in Nuchanov between the continuous command tikwasi and the complete command tikwasi is just a single syllable. Do you hear that? And as a result, people often don't notice the difference, but it's there. Tikwasi, three syllables, is a continuous aspect command. Be seated and remain seated. Tikwasi, four syllables, is a complete aspect command. Sit down, and then we're done. Now, this has been a somewhat technical lecture. I hope that those of you who are analytically minded now see the aspect system a little bit more clearly. Those of you who are not technically minded might have thought that I sounded like the adults in Charlie Brown, like my colleague Lisa Trombley says sometimes. So let me tell you now how this directly affects what we're working on in this class. In the last couple of weeks, we've been practicing Dr. Gray Morning's ASLA method, where we start teaching simple sentences using pictures, and we describe what the people in those pictures are doing. At the very beginning, what aspect verbs do we use to describe what's happening in those pictures? Continuous or complete? Yes, continuous. So for describing what people in pictures are doing right now, we usually want the continuous aspect. The next method we're going to be practicing is the TPR method, the total physical response method. The main distinguishing feature of TPR is that it involves giving commands. This makes it very active and it makes it a good method for young children who like to be active and like to play games where they get told what to do or they get to tell each other what to do. If we're telling people what to do, which aspect are we more likely going to want to use? For telling people what to do, we usually want the complete aspect. But as we've seen, even in commands, sometimes we want the continuous aspect form. Another practical result of this for both languages, Kwakwala and Nuchanov, is that very early you need to start helping your students, your learners, understand that every time they learn a new verb, they're usually going to have to learn at least two forms, the continuous form and the complete form. This is a big problem in both for learners of both languages, because in English you can get a long way just using the plain form of the verb. But in Kwakwala and Nuchanov, we constantly have to ask ourselves when making a sentence with an action word, which aspect do I want? Do I want the continuous or do I want the complete? And I'd better know both forms of each verb. That is why I'm preparing verbless for both languages that give some of the most important verbs that we teach first and their most important aspect forms, usually the continuous and the complete, although for some neutronic verbs, the repetitive is actually the default form rather than the continuous. Although for most verbs, the continuous is the default form. This has been an overview of the aspect systems of Nuchanoth and Kwakwala, some rules of thumb for knowing when to use which aspect, and how it affects what we're doing, which aspect we're likely to use in the TPR or ASLA method, and the fact that when we learn or when we teach action words in Kwakwala and Nuchanoth, we need to make sure that our learners learn at least two aspect forms for most verbs. Chooch, he'em. Yes, good question. How would I teach aspect using the ASLA method? Well, I like to use both the ASLA method and the TPR method. And with older learners, with teens and adults, I would probably start with ASLA because older people are more comfortable sitting down and looking at pictures. But with small children, I would probably start with TPR because children need to be active. Otherwise, they get bored really fast. But with both groups, I would present ASLA, then TPR, or TPR, and then ASLA. Once they had experienced all of those verbs in both situations, then I might start correcting them when they make mistakes. So people would try to describe what's happening in a picture, and instead of saying, Yatsuk ish chakupi, they might say, Yats shitlish chakupi. And I would say, Yatsuk ish chakupi. I would start correcting them. And my goal there would be to help them notice that there's a difference between Yatsuk and Yatsshit. I probably would not explain it for a while. I would explain it only to intermediate or advanced learners, and only if they were at least a certain age. With young students, context is everything. You need to help them grasp what continuous is by presenting them continuous forms in continuous contexts, and what complete forms by presenting those in complete context. If you give them enough examples of rich language in the right context, young children will eventually get it. Older people will probably have to have it explained to them. Does that answer your question? When do we expect children or learners of any age to start speaking back to us? I belong to the school of thought that you shouldn't force people to speak, that you should let people take as long as they need to before they're ready. Children will start doing it on their own, usually. Adults might need a little bit of encouragement.